Kevin, one day members and present. We've heard the representation from the environmental health officer. Are you quite happy with what you have heard, or do you feel you want to hear yet again? Are you happy with what you've heard?
I'd like to respond if I can.
No, I'll come to that in a moment. I just want to check you're happy with what you've heard. We're just dealing with what we have heard. I'm asking, are you happy with what we have heard so that we can move forward?
I just want to try and concentrate on this. That'll be the next step.
That's the next step. Yeah. We're not questioning. We're actually now moving on to Mr. Hilton, if you would like to actually respond or raise any issues that the environment.
Rather than give his full response, I think at this stage, if he's got questions to ask the environmental health, don't be tempted to go into your full speech about the application. It's just you might want to.
What I'd say is probably somewhere in between a response and a question, I guess.
You're questioning what the environmental officer has actually said to
I suppose I haven't got any questions there, I've just got a response.
That's okay, because you'll have the chance. Members probably want questions.
Councillor Pitt, have you any questions for the environmental health officer?
Yes, thank you, Jen. On the report, thanks very much. I just want to clarify the situation regarding the 24-hour park. And if you look at the conditions on page 1 of the report, the figure of 00.00 is that lunchtime?
That'll be midnight.
Midnight is 11:59.
Of course, it's the environmental health officer document. So
yes.
Right.
So
that is what we would be looking for and what we were proposing.
Midnight.
Okay. Live music.
This is the proposed condition for the environmental health, rather than what Mr. Henderson's asking for.
That's it. And just want to clarify that because it
makes quite a difference, doesn't it?
So you're happy you want to move on then? Any questions for what environment?
I have another question for the environment. Second paragraph talks about the area where the jukebox is and first floor function room, etc. There's no outside area for smokers, so they do it outside of the main door. Is that acceptable in terms of public health is concerned?
Yes.
Because it's the general public, isn't it?
Yes, in that there is facility in place for the disposal of cigarette ends. You've got the metal disposal, and it's not an enclosed area, which is what is mostly covered in the smoking regulations, is that it can't be covered fully. But it's a fully open area, it's literally outside the front step of the pub. And then the smoking butt dispenser is there on the left on the wall.
Sharon, I'm just conscious that this is sort of the main chance to get any other evidence you need from the environmental health officer. I was wondering if there's an ongoing history of noise complaints, what are the hours now? How can it be open until 1? Are there complaints now? That sort of thing. I don't know if members wanted to touch on that, but we have the chance to ask it.
Yes. Yes. Thank you,
Jack.
The question is. On page 2, which is the reverse of page 1, to talk about condition 2 and curtains. A noise limiting device should be installed. Now that's specifically required. And is there a specific decibel which is acceptable and which isn't?
There's not a set decibel for every premises, if that's what you mean. The decibel level would need to be set based upon the amount of noise breakout through the premises, in that specific premises.
So
that could be agreed with us in environmental health or with his own noise consultant.
I'm just wondering, what is, how do you measure the noise? I mean, if who makes the measurement acceptable?
So it would be up to Mr. Henderson, but we in environmental health can make a determination of what the acceptable level would be. We would do that with noise monitoring equipment, and we can test it when it's in operation and in the local vicinity in terms of how loud it is. He could also hire his own noise consultant, or the one he's already using, to make that measurement for him.
Right.
Again, using properly calibrated noise equipment and assessing how loud it is outside of the premises.
Yeah, the question I ask you is
sorry.
Is there a standard decibel which is acceptable?
No, so there isn't a standard
decibel. So how do you measure it? Is it it's acceptable unless somebody complains?
Right. Not strictly speaking, it should be reviewed if there are complaints. When it's initially set, we look at the World Health Organization's guidelines for acceptable noise levels in residential properties. So in bedrooms and living rooms there are different levels, in a day and night time there are different levels. And these are set for how loud it is in the recipient's property, if that makes sense. So we'd look at how loud it is in the adjoining flats, most likely, and make sure that the World Health Organization's guidelines were not being breached by the level of noise that was coming from the amplified music.
Okay.
So we are, through you, Chair, we're accepting an international organisation's scientific,
yes.
As scientific as you can get in the circumstances, their data.
That's
and
right.
We're working to that.
On what is acceptable within the residence.
It's not an arbitrary thing, we haven't made it up ourselves.
No, that's
okay.
Right.
Could I also, Chair, pick up Simon's comment about complaints?
Mm.
Have you had any complaints about these premises, given the existing hours that they're open? And if so, how many?
So we have not currently received any complaints about the current opening hours until 1 a.m. So there is no complainants in the local residence at this time. Our concern is that the changing nature of the business would cause complaints, given that 3 a.m. is a considerably different time of day than 1 a.m.
But just to be sure, there are no complaints at present
time.
About the present opening hours.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you.
Can I then ask you how you became aware of the possibility of there becoming a public nuisance here? This place in particular, how did neither way that this may well be a big problem?
Okay, upon receipt of the application, I visited the premises to determine the type and scale of the premises and the local makeup of the area. So when I visited, it became apparent to me that the nature of the building, with it being listed, meant that there was potential for a great deal of breakout noise via the large sash windows that are at the frontage of the premises. I also found that there were flats on either side of the premises, and the flats 40 metres away on St Martin's Place on a walkthrough of the area. They share a party wall with the premises, the flats on Martin Street and some of the flats on St Martin's Place. It's quite a large building that goes backwards. So on that assessment, and discussions with Mr. Henderson about his current noise management, which he did not at that time have a noise management plan or anything like that, and the fact that the smoking is directly outside the front of the premises, using my professional experience and judgment, I determined that there was a likelihood of public nuisance from the variation of the hours. If that answers your question.
Yes. Mr. Henderson did, in actual fact, have the noise consultant in to look at the premises. And did you then receive a copy of the consultant's report?
Yes.
Did you then approach Mr. Henderson to say to him, well, this is all fine, you know, what he has done is fine, but there are one or two items that I'm not very happy about. Could you attend to them? So have you actually gone back to Mr. Henderson and said, I think you really should be attending to these other matters?
Well, following receipt of this noise report, that's when I contacted Mr. Henderson with the new proposal, right, including that he would need to comply with the recommendations of his noise report at that point. So I have received it and reviewed it. You're welcome to have a look at it if you would like. The key point highlighted in paragraph 5.11, whereby his noise consultant states that the calculated noise levels outside the apartments are higher than the lowest background measurement. Therefore, additional noise mitigation measures are necessary in respect to breakout by the shop front. And we understand the building is listed and therefore it is not possible to alter the building fabric. It is therefore recommended that secondary glazing is installed internally. And he goes on to specify the type of glazing required.
Now, you did mention something that you felt that the noise consultant didn't look at. Could you mind, what was that?
Yes, we didn't look at noise from patrons entering and exiting the premises or smoking outside the frontage of the premises. So we made no attempt to calculate the impact that would have on local residents. And we feel that we've all been near a smoking area at some point in our time and understand the noise that that puts out. Hopefully you can relate. That noise should be considered, and we have considered it, to be in excess of what we think would be acceptable that close to local residents, essentially directly beneath their window, which is the front flats, is this smoking area, and there could be people out there until 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's not considered by his noise consultant or any recommendations made. It's a difficult issue to control. You can't put secondary glazing around a smoking area. So the only real way to control that noise would be with restrictions of hours, because there's no physical way to reduce the noise.
Can I ask then, do noise consultants usually have standards or recommendations as to what they look at whenever they are gauging possible noise? Or do you, Environmental Health, have a list that you would send out to these consultants? Right, what we'd like you to do is to look at A, B, C, D, E all the way down.
There's not a set procedure for a public house or anything like that. It is for the noise consultant to make a judgment based on their training. So this noise consultant should be registered. He is registered with the Institute of Acoustics. So we should be familiar with what he needs to review, and it should come from his own training, really.
Can I then also ask you about the placing of seating outside? It seems to be particularly for smokers. Is that an acceptable provision?
So Mr. Henderson currently has a pavement license for the tables out there, which is not part of this license application.
Right.
The point we're making in terms of the conditions is that they should be removed so as not to encourage people to be sitting outside or hanging around for any length of time. And that is the same reason why we've conditioned that they shouldn't take a drink with them. That encourages them to continue to stand there and talk to each other whilst drinking. So that's why that's conditioned that they should have to go out and have nothing else to do but smoke and then return into the premises.
But they shouldn't be taking drinks outside.
They shouldn't be anyway, no. But we wanted to condition it to ensure that that did not take place, just so it's a legally enforceable condition at that point.
Yes, can I just ask about the report from the intoxicology expert? He definitely recommends bottle glazing, does he, in terms of...
Yes, we specify specifically that secondary glazing would be required, and that is because the sash windows are protected as it's a listed building,
sure.
So they can't be replaced with better quality double glazing. So secondary glazing is an additional pane of glass that can be fitted behind the sash window,
yeah.
And can then be removed and made good if they left, so that it would still comply with the listed building requirements.
Okay.
And he specifies the type in there.
Is my understanding correct that this is not viewed financially able? Have you had a response to
that? I see. All right. No, not coming to you, I'm just seeing
okay.
That question. Right.
That's
you
fine.
Get from the applicant.
Okay. And you say, can I just clarify, you have no response, as or have better still, have you done any sort of consultation with the local people with regard to the extended hours?
We have not in environmental health, but understand as part of the licensing application it was displayed.
Yes, I've been also tried to contact
them
as
well.
It would not be
it would not
be standard practice for environmental health to go around and consult the neighbours.
Right, okay. That's it, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask, what about the police? Have the police been involved at all in a consultation?
They have been, and I understand they have
yes,
made requirements of door staff, but they have not said anything in regards to those.
No, that's all right. But the police, have you liaised with the police at all?
Not directly.
Not
no.
directly. If you've said that we haven't had any complaints from any neighbours, if there happened to be complaints because the committee agreed to extend hours or to allow these, how long would it take for any review of the premises licence?
I mean, I can answer that. So
yeah.
You're talking about 2 months, really, because of the statutory timescales. So you have to...
Just to give us a rough idea.
You have to display the notices for the review for 20 working days.
Right.
And then there's a further... works out about a month before when you have to hold the hearing, and then because of the letters and the notification of the agenda, you're talking roughly 2 months.
So not
3 months, but I think two months is about the end time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Within 2 months,
right.
But in effect it would be 6 to 8 weeks.
Right. Thanks for that, Simon. And are there any other questions from members? Right, we're now moving on to item 5 here, and Mr. Henderson, you're now going to present your own presentation, obviously.
Okay. So basically, we do already have the hours till 1 o'clock. Extending to the baby would obviously just be 2 extra hours, which I think, as long as that's not causing too much interference to the local flats, it shouldn't be a massive issue. If I do have a noise management plan which stops live music being played after 12, the only real issue is the noise of obviously people leaving and entering the building, and also noise breakout. The acoustic report, obviously we've mentioned secondary glazing. The reason why, I would prefer to have secondary glazing, the reason why I can't have it is just I literally do not have the money to pay for it right now. It's something I could pay for in the future. The recommendation in the report is that currently, the noise breakout from the building is probably higher than the background noise outside the flats slightly. But if I had secondary glazing, it would be below the breakout noise. Below the background noise of what's currently outside the flats. So, and that would basically reduce it to the point that it's not a massive issue to the people in the area. But obviously, that would require me to pay for secondary glazing, which is something I'd willingly get in the future, but right now we just physically can't afford it. As far as the flats are concerned, I have tried contacting them. The flats, which are directly connected to the building, I think are owned by a estate agent, and I got them to email all the members of those that flat. I didn't get any responses from them, and I have got the email there, which they sent out to everyone. The flats on the other side, there's actually a business in between, which is a flat above it, and that flat's not being used, it's used for storage, so that's not residential anyway. So on the other side of those are multiple flats. I've tried to contact them, but I've not got any response. I think it's the landlord, because I managed to get through them to an estate agent, then the estate agent to the landlord, so I think that's where the cutoff is, so I don't think they've been asked. And there's also flats 40 metres away, which I haven't asked, but I think they're far enough away that I don't think it'd be an issue. So there's a lot of things that I had to talk about. So one of the things that was asked by the EHO was to have a noise limiter. I did actually speak to my noise consultant about that. The reason why it's not in this report is because he didn't recommend it for the premises. The reason for that is because a noise limiter works by cutting off the power to speakers and things if it gets too loud. But where the speakers are going to be located, there's so many plug sockets and things anyway, that any band, if things start getting disconnected, we're just going to move the plug sockets. And I've had that issue in the past where our fuses switch off quite often if you have too many plugged into one location, so we probably have to have multiple noise limiters anyway. But in the past, when I've had that causing things to blow, it means that people move the speakers around in ways that possibly aren't beneficial to the business. So I don't think a noise limiter is a good idea for the premises. And the noise consultant, when I spoke to him, also agreed with that. Something else I should point out is the noise consultant did the report based on the idea that we're going to be open until 3 a.m. And that's 3 a.m. every day, obviously, what I'm applying for doesn't include Sundays and Mondays, which is an early day, an earlier time. So I'm getting a bit lost. when the EHO is now saying that I should get secondary glazing in order to only have an extra hour on the Sunday, on the Fridays and Saturdays, I think that's a bit unreasonable, and that's why I said I wouldn't be paying for secondary glazing if that's it, because secondary glazing costs about £400 per window, and the downstairs I think we've got 5 windows, and upstairs I think we've got, it's 4 or 5, I can't remember. So that would be a substantial amount of money just to spend to be able to open an extra hour on Fridays and Saturdays. If I was able to open during the week, it means that we could stay open slightly longer. And I do need to point out that the premises itself is, that the type of customers we have aren't the people who go out to get drunk. They are the quite nice people who want to enjoy the night. And around Stafford, after 1 o'clock, usually the only place to go is Couture, Casa, or the Grapes, which is also known as quite heavy drinking areas. I feel like if we were open later, people who actually want to come out and still drink but drink responsibly, they could come to our place. Because I have work jobs in Stafford where I finish work at 1 o'clock, so I've worked as a chef, and the only place you go is Casa, and you end up drinking more than you meant to, because it's a nightclub. Our place isn't a nightclub, if that makes sense. I probably ought to go to questions because I feel like I'm mumbling, sorry.
That's okay, don't take your time.
Are you quite happy with what you said to us?
Yeah. Oh, the other thing was the police. So I spoke to the police because obviously originally I wanted to get rid of the requirement for door staff anyway, and that's because the current hours that we have compared to the pubs around, so the Market Vaults, which is next door but one to us, so the other side of the flats, they've got the same hours as we've got, but they don't have the door staff requirements, and I have to spend £200 a week on door staff. When I spoke to the police, they discussed with me, and they suggested that if I'm going to open till 3, we need to have door staff from 11, and I said that's fine. So that's why I was talking about changing what we're applying for to have door staff on Fridays and Saturdays from 11 o'clock. I've also applied personally for an SIA licence so I could work as door staff myself, which I think is useful in managing noise because I've got the training to do so.
You're going to be very busy, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I've pointed out most of those things. If you've got any questions.
Thanks, you're quite happy with what you've said.
Yes,
right.
I think so.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry, Chair, you've got questions from the EHR as well. You've got the right to ask some questions of clarification if you wanted to.
I should have looked at
it. I'm so sorry.
I don't know if I have any questions or other statements that I can make at a later.
I mean, you could make the statement and ask if he agrees, if that's how you want to ask the question.
Okay. I'll go on the last point that you've made regarding the hours of other premises. As you've stated, the other premises that have these sort of hours are Casa, Couture, the Grapes, which are on that run that's not in a residential area. Do you feel that opening later could draw further custom to your premises, which would change the nature of...
Something you pointed out when you made your statement was, I think you briefly said membership, and that was something I suggested before, where we could shut the doors on the pub after 1 o'clock, and it's just a suggestion that it's really worth implementing. And that would mean that if there's people leaving from, say, Wetherspoons or something like that, and they're just looking to get drunk, we wouldn't let them into our premises, and that would be one solution. And I'm just stating this as there's many solutions to manage those kind of things, and I don't think limiting our opening hours is the only option.
Okay. In response to the membership cards, don't be explained.
So what I was going to suggest is that we could shut the doors at 1 o'clock, basically so that no one can get in. Maybe some people choose to leave, so the customers already in there can be retained. But the issue with that is that you'll have regular customers who are left outside. I can imagine you'll have smokers who they'll get intermingled, and it'll be very difficult to control. And that's why I was going to suggest that you have a membership card so that after a certain time you have to make that membership. So it's a bit complicated. And again, it was just me putting thoughts up in the air. Where if you charge something like £40 for membership, it's like a year's membership. It means that people who actually are regulars to the pub are willing to go there. And pay for that £40 because they go there quite often. People who just want to go out and to get drunk and they're going to go to the nearest place aren't going to spend £40 to just get to one nightclub. One location, they'll probably just move on and go to the nightclubs, if that makes sense. And again, that was just a suggestion, such as like when I suggested doing food in the evenings, I was just putting out ideas which could be solutions.
Okay. So I appreciate that you're willing to come up with different ideas. My concern with that is that that's not something that we could condition and have as legally enforceable. So it's not something that we could rely on as a way of managing the noise.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So we've, as the committee, will need to make a decision based on things that can be legally enforced on the licence.
Yes.
And
that's
an interesting idea is not something that could be conditioned or enforced.
I mean, like I say, those things were just suggestions to help manage. So it would just be multiple things put together that would help manage the situation. It wouldn't be a strict rule.
Yeah, I think, Chairman, just to clarify on that, it is absolutely right. It would be the sort of thing that would be too detailed and changing to put into plausible conditions. But there's nothing to stop the applicant. He could choose to manage his customers in that way.
There's
a way to stop there being
problems.
But
you can't do that.
You wouldn't impose that, no.
This is why I'm suggesting you could impose a noise management plan that has to be reviewed every year, and that would be a simple sentence in the licence. But then I'd have to manage the noise measurement plan myself and possibly have to report to the EHO and say, does this seem reasonable? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yes, but we're still with the family. Any other questions?
No, I don't believe so at this time. Do you have a question?
Do you have a question? Okay, Councillor Sutherland.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I'm a bit confused about this membership. If I can ask Ms. Tennis. And really, is there a change in the licensing rules regarding private membership, having a membership?
I'm just going to say that me talking about membership is only a little session I put in an email when I was messaging the EHO saying that I could implement such things. I'm not planning on doing that unless...
Right.
Is actually a good reason to do so.
I'm not sure that it would change the
No, it's,
so
it's not.
We can't impose that as a condition.
I think what you're referring to is like a private members club.
That's
a totally separate regime because the premises license isn't a license like that. So it's a full premises license that you have to.
Not a club premises. I've just talked about ways of controlling people after a certain hour so that you're not getting all the people who are just trying to get drunk coming to our premises.
Right. Right. I've heard somebody say that I didn't get drunk. the thing that I'd like you to clarify as well, you talk about affordability of the double glazing. And because of the financial implication, you can't afford it at the moment. When you want to open a business, you have to have the financial ability to get to the point where you can actually open the door. And if it's a requirement, I just wondered...
It's a recommendation in the document.
Yeah. The affordability, really, you should find it.
Yes.
Because it would help me.
I mean, I would like to have the double glazing, but when I literally didn't have the money right now, I do need to find the money, and that would take time in itself. I would happily pay for this down the line, but the noise report itself, I've equated £2,000 for it. I don't know if it's going to be that in the end, but that was a lot of money, and I can't have all these outgoings going all at once, because I need to be able to pay for staff as well.
The reduction in staff of you said £800 a week.
I've not said anything about reducing
the door staff. I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry, it's £200 a week because I gave the private company with the current hours required by the license. Because currently on the license, I have to have door staff on from 7 p.m. until closing, which is 1 o'clock. And the door staff are paid £17.50 an hour. And that's what, one of the reasons why originally I asked not to have door staff on, because it costs so much money and we weren't busy enough to justify really having them, because we don't have that much footfall. But if we are extending the hours, I do think door staff are justified, and that's why I think having door staff from 11 o'clock until closing makes sense on Fridays and Saturdays. And so I'm willing to have that happen. And like I said, I've got the SIA license now, which means that I can work as door staff. So my intention was to work with a private company, making sure the doors are being monitored, and that also means that we can manage to stand outside by having door staff on the doors on the Fridays and Saturdays.
If I can just say just now, please, and I'll come to you in a moment, you're asking us to remove completely.
Oh, no.
You are in the paper, it says
remove. That was originally what I asked for when I first applied.
Yeah, but that's what's on your application, and you're now telling us. I would say that we really then have to amend your application if you're now asking for it to be from 11 o'clock as opposed to from 7 o'clock, because your current license, if I'm correct, says that you should have door staff on from 7 o'clock. And you have asked us to remove that completely according to your application.
Yes.
But what you're sitting here saying to us now is that you want to change that from removal of reference to door staff, and you're now telling us you want to change that to door staff being on from 11 o'clock. We really need clarification on that, and then we'll move forward.
Yes, so like I say, I was contacted by the police and we had a conversation about it, and that's when I came to the discussion with the police saying that we'll do it from 11 o'clock. The police did say in an email that they would forward that to the council. It was sent to e-licensing.
So I assume that
would have changed what my application was. I didn't know that I needed to.
It's the negotiation phase, so the consultation period. Obviously, the police get notified of the application, it's the same as all the responsible authorities. So the police licensing department obviously contacted in as negotiation Mr. Emerson and said, actually, we don't agree with this, what you've proposed, here's something better, and obviously that's what we want you to implement and you want required to implement. Obviously Mr. Henderson has agreed that, and that will be imposed on the license. We have that as a record for when we
re-merge the licence, if you like, with the changes or not.
That
will be on there.
We as a committee need to be sure that we know exactly what we're agreeing to.
Yeah.
And that would be that the door staff is probably 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Now, I'm coming back to the council as I said, but I need to carry on with this. You're now saying that you would be the door staff that would be ordered from 11
no,
o'clock.
No, we do currently have security. Security team,
yes.
Who is a private company, and that's who we've had from now on. But
yes.
I've recently got qualifications so that I could also work if I needed to. So on nights when I don't think it's going to be busy, it means that I've got the option to work from the door. Or if someone doesn't turn up, it just means that I've got that backup. So I've got the option to do that. I just feel like it's just another. I think hopefully that works in my favour that I've got the qualification and the training to do that if I needed to.
I'm sorry, but I would tend to think that either you're on the door or you're...
You are. So I'd have bar staff on the bar, and I'd just be, on that night, be working the door. If I was going to do that, but like I say, I've got a private company who would also...
So you would have additional staff in to work behind the bar?
Yeah, so
while you were on the door?
Yes.
What guarantee do we have of that?
It's a legal requirement if you're going to be working as a door supervisor that you can't be working behind the bar at the same time.
Can I ask... sounds all right to ask for clarification on that, please, from the licensing officer. You know, if we're talking about door staff, and we're talking about a requirement for door staff to be on.
I mean, it's one of these things where the license won't sort of have a whole operating procedure of how the door staff work. It will be very concise. The condition will just say door staff to be working, must be SIA accredited, must work from these hours. So that's all that will usually
that's
go on the
all that we
license.
Would have the involvement in, just in a condition imposed on the licence to say those simple things, and obviously it's up to Mr. Henderson to impose those responsibly. Otherwise that's a breach of his conditions, and that's a
prosecutable offence. It's because the Licensing Act doesn't want to sort of overdo the regulation, if you like. That's where you have someone like a DPS who's responsible for day-to-day management.
Okay. Right, I'm happy now with the door staff. Can I move on then?
Can I just just clarify something? And that is, this is the thing I want to clarify, and that is, with being the DPS, how does that alter his status sign in terms of the door, looking after the door?
It's quite fluid. So the DPS, basically everyone says the buck stops with the DPS, which is,
yeah.
Which is right. They're the identified manager who is in charge.
Mm.
So sometimes you have places where there's a separate license holder and a separate DPS. So the DPS is the key person. It's up to the DPS how they manage their premises to an extent,
right.
As long as it's within the licensing conditions.
So he can be fluent in terms of...
He could dress up in a Mickey Mouse costume if he wanted to,
mm.
But if he does things that cause problems, there will be a review. But the licensing committee don't go to the extent of setting out exactly how there to do things.
Right.
You give them the benefit of the doubt to be free to run their own premises in the best way they think. Obviously, if it came back and there was an issue because a theoretical DPS was doing too much door supervision and not enough checking of sales at the bar, they'd be criticised for that. But you know, as long as they're mindful of all their competing responsibilities and their doing their full attention, then there shouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
Right.
It's the day-to-day responsibility, obviously, as Simon said, the book does stop with the DPS, the consequences of that, obviously, are very, very serious if any conditions are breached, and that they should be fully aware of the training.
Yeah.
Alright.
Okay.
And coming to Councillor Cook.
Thank you very much.
You've been very patient with us. Thank you.
I always let the chat. Mr. Henderson, could you let us know why you wish to increase the number of hours. What do you think you would get from that?
So recently, compared to what it used to be in 2019 before COVID and everything, recently it's been very quiet up, and I've noticed that people actually go out a lot later as well. Quite often, it's not until 11:30 when things start to get busy around a pub, and that means that we've only got an hour of serving alcohol from that point until I have to stop serving alcohol and then move everyone from the premises in half an hour. I feel like if I had an extra 2 hours, I've got enough money to, I've got enough time to make a bit of more income that evening, and that would cover losses that I'll probably make through the week from not having enough customers.
That's what I was getting at. So you anticipate a much higher level of income, and thus presumably a higher level of profits for your business.
At the moment, we're not making enough money to really cover ourselves. You were talking about money earlier. I've put a lot of money into the business so far. Currently, although I pay myself a salary, I pay the money directly back to the business as soon as I pay myself.
But you would anticipate higher levels of income,
yes,
which would give you additional levels of profit,
yes,
which you may not have before. Have you considered actually taking, and as I assume, you must be fairly confident of the higher level of income, which possibly also translating somewhat into a higher level of profit. So have you considered, therefore, taking out the loan and using that in order to deal with noise attenuation?
That's an option that I could do. Obviously, the reason why he's paying for noise attenuation is to get the extra hours to be able to have more customers. It is just basically the case that a lot of customers do just want to go out later in the evenings now. It just seems to be the trend. And whereas they tend to go to Castle or Couture or the Graves, as we discussed before, where there's a lot of heavy drinking, I think a lot of people do just want to go out. They want to have one or two beers and just enjoy the night. And I feel like our premises is more suited for that.
That's through you, Chair. That's not quite the answer to my question.
Sorry.
Why can't you get a loan? Is the money market so tight that you couldn't obtain a loan?
That is an option. For one thing, if I was going to get a loan, I'd probably want the 3 o'clock license, 3 o'clock hours. The PHO is currently negotiating in the document saying I'd only get an extra hour on the Fridays and Saturdays, which wouldn't justify the money I'd be putting in. But yes, a loan is something I'd be willing to look into. If you gave me 3 o'clock hours, I could probably find a way to get the second placing sorted. But it would have to be a guarantee, because I can't just pay for something if it's not going to pay off.
Mm. Right, I think the problem there, Jess, is that I think one would probably want to have the things in place first.
Yes.
So that we were sure that was going to happen before proceeding. But thank you very much, Chair.
Right, thank you. And coming back again, and you're talking about, I'm coming back to your opening times, and you're talking about paid staff, etc. I can't quite understand why you're opening at 8 o'clock in the morning. I know you're saying that you're talking about, you hope to serve breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, but then you're talking about the money you're going to be making is really at night, whenever you're, it's a nighttime economy you're concentrating on. But you're talking about paying staff coming in at 8 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock when you start serving your alcohol.
Right.
And
so
you're looking for hours to extend at the other end, and you're saying you can't afford to pay your security staff. Why can't you cut the payment of staff from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock?
We currently don't open at 8 o'clock. The reason why I've got this in my licence is because in the future I might want to open the kitchen again. When we first opened the business in 2018, when we first opened, I was the chef then, and I had a business partner who was working front of house, and we could afford to have more staff because I put more money in. So we could have the kitchen running then. There's work that I need to pay for to have the kitchen repaired now, because it's been damaged over the years. Over lockdown, it's pretty much neglected. So that's why the kitchen's not open at the moment. So we won't be opening at 8 o'clock if the licence goes through, but it will be on the licence, so that should we get the kitchen sorted, which could be in about 6 months, then we would be able to start doing breakfast and things. So it's really a different issue. There's the nighttime income of selling alcohol, and then there's the daytime where we want to have the kitchen open and do food throughout the day. But realistically, at the moment, I'm trying to focus on the night time, because that seems to be where the income is, and to open during the day for the kitchen It means that I have to have more staff. It means that I have to know that I've got the income to support that staff, otherwise I'm harming people that I can't afford anymore. I need to pay to have the kitchen repaired. So I can't really tackle that at the moment, but I can tackle the evening trade, which I think has probably got a reasonable income.
Shouldn't your priority then be about the noise attenuation, spending the money in that direction,
yes,
which is a requirement, rather than talking about spending your money on renovations to the kitchen?
Oh, this is what I'm saying. Part of the application is to have it open in the morning, but I won't be focusing on that until I've got everything for the house sorted for the evening. And I am happy to have the second glaze in. I just need the time to find the money to do so. And again, I would have to have some sort of guarantee that if I do spend the money on the second glazing, that I would actually get what I'm asking for, because I can't spend thousands of pounds on something on an if that makes sense.
You talked about submitting a noise attenuation plan to environmental health, am I correct?
Yes.
So you yourself haven't as yet submitted that noise attenuation plan, have you?
Well, I've sent it to the EHO.
He has provided a first draft of a noise management plan.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable to say that, because only after having the report and not knowing what the ours might end up being, I think there are things that need to be discussed. And obviously, I didn't get any feedback from my plan, so it probably does need changing, but I think it's reasonable to say that.
We were very close to the hearing when it was submitted, since
yes,
we haven't been able to fully...
So, adjustments to your submitted noise attenuation plan, you're saying now that having submitted it, you're quite prepared to adjust that, am
yes,
I correct? Can I ask, are you quite amenable to having a noise attenuation plan submitted to you that is acceptable?
Yes, so if we are happy to work with Mr. Henderson on the noise management plan to bring it to a suitable level, at which point we would give written confirmation that we were happy with it. So we could condition that written approval must be given by Environmental Health for the noise management plan in order to ensure that our oversight is given to the noise management plan.
What I then need to do is to ask Simon if we as a committee could be agreeing to provide a licence on that basis, or do we really need to know that has been done and acceptable?
Yeah, you could. I mean, it sounds like there's movement on both sides, and it seems like it's not impossible that we could come to something that the committee could endorse.
Right.
So it sounds to me like the questions and answers that have been recently given that I think, Mr. Henderson, forgive me if I misquote you, you don't agree with what I say, but it seems to be that Mr. Henderson is saying that he'd possibly be happy to agree to install the secondary glazing within a certain time scale, so perhaps you could come to an agreement what the time scale might be. He wouldn't want to commit to that unless he had the hours that he's applying for in the application. And I think Environmental Health would also only be happy with such a thing happening if they had a condition that agreed a time scale for the outstanding matters in the noise monitoring report to be addressed.
Right.
So possibly those three things coming together could be a solution that everyone could accept.
So coming back, would you be happy with that kind of arrangement?
Yes.
Right.
It's just the fine tuning of dates and...
Yeah, fine tuning of dates.
The time
to do that
still
of
concern to Environmental Health.
Just
the timings are still of concern to us in Environmental Health. Even with the secondary glazing, we still feel that 3 a.m. every day of the week is still likely to cause a public nuisance for the reasons discussed around patrons coming and going and smoking outside and that sort of thing, which is the reason why when we went back to Mr. Henderson, we had suggested 2 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays being what we would anticipate would be the busiest days of the week for the business, and giving him a full hour longer in which to serve his customers.
Right. Right. Back to the committee now. Remember, we're speaking to Mr. Henderson.
Yes, right. Thank you, Chairman. Can you just elaborate on the situation where considering compensation to neighbours?
Again, this is just a suggestion that I was putting up into the air. As an idea, so if we did open the kitchen in the future, we might just offer a discount for neighbours. So if we did hypothetically make more noise than they liked, they've got some sort of compensation. But again, it was just a suggestion. I'm not saying this is something we have to do, but I wouldn't mind doing such things.
Have you considered that may be more expensive than double glazing?
It would just be a promotion, really. So they get something from it, so they get a discount, and we'd still get, say, sales.
Oh, I see.
So it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Councillor
Sutherland?
Yes, no,
thank you.
Right, so we're going to move on.
Chairman, it's somewhat unusual, but I wonder, is there any need to let the parties see if they can agree a joint way forward, if you were to give them a few minutes. I don't know if that's feasible or not. Not you're saying.
We haven't got a great amount of wriggle room from our point of view in environmental health. Obviously, the committee will make their decision as they see fit, but from environmental health, we don't feel comfortable moving from the current position of 2 a.m. on Friday and Saturday, based on our responsibility to protect the public from nuisance.
Sorry, Chairman, I just thought.
I apologise if that seems inflexible.
We need to have clarification.
We're in an independent position.
What I'm now coming on to is that I'm going to ask Nicole, because I think we're now at number 8, you are now going to summarise your case, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking to you to summarise your case, and you're not really going to bring in anything new. It's got to be based on the case that you actually presented to us right at the very start. If you can remember as far back as that. Right,
yeah.
Then, Nicole, please.
Okay, so to summarise the position of environmental health, it is our opinion that due to the nature of the premises, in that it is a listed building, it has the original large sash windows that provide little noise insulation, that there's no outdoor space except for the space immediately in front of the premises for patrons to gather and smoke, and given the proximity of the local residents, as a summary, the 4 flats in the adjoining property at 4 Martin Street, the 8 flats in the adjoining property at 3 St Martin's Place, and the 9 flats 40 metres away at 15 Martin Street, and that the hours suggested by Mr Henderson being 3 a.m. every day of the week is highly likely to cause a public nuisance to these local residents from noise from inside the premises if secondary glazing is not installed, but also significantly from the noise of patrons entering and exiting the premises and smoking, as already stated. To summarise and address some of the things Mr Henderson has raised, whilst he mentions that the flat that is adjacent to the building is currently used for storage, it is a designated residential premises and could change at any time. Anything agreed by the committee could be in place for some time, so it should be considered as such in our opinion. And with regards to the noise limiter, it's of course for the committee to decide if it's appropriate, but it is our opinion that it is possible for a noise limiter to be installed and for the equipment of performers to be fed through it, and that it is the responsibility of the DPS to ensure that performers do not circumvent this system, as suggested by Mr Henderson, that they might unplug it and plug into a different socket. That is his responsibility. We are concerned that the premises opening later, being contrary to the other premises in the area, could bring new custom to the premises and could change the nature of this area. One thing to do with that is that could bring further people outside the premises, and at the risk of overcomplicating for your matters, is that the nature of the area where the smoking area is, the buildings around are large, tall, generally three-storey buildings, which creates a noise canyon, as we would describe it, in which the noise from patrons would bounce between these buildings and amplify them on that corner of the street, if you're familiar with it. It is a very confined area, in fact, and that this would cause the noise from those patrons to be even more of a nuisance to the local residents. To summarise, it's the opinion of Environmental Health that 3 a.m. every day would be highly likely to cause a nuisance, and so we have suggested an extension for Mr. Henderson's purposes of serving more customers to 2 a.m. on Friday and Saturday, but to continue with the existing opening hours for the other times. One thing to say is that we were not opposed to 8 a.m. as an opening time. It was an oversight on the suggested opening time, so it says 10 a.m. We would not be opposed to 8 a.m. So that Mr. Henderson could focus on the daytime economy, which would be more appropriate for the type of premises that he is using. I think that summarises our points.
Right, thank you for that. Then I'm going to come now on item 9 on the procedure, and you can summarise your case. And he can only comment rather briefly on anything that the environment officer has said.
Well, I think for the sake of my business, it's very beneficial to be able to stay open until 3 a.m. And I think there does have to be a reasonable amount of evidence to say that we would cause a nuisance, considering with a 1 o'clock licence, we've had no noise in the place so far. I've also, like I said, gone through a lot of effort to try and contact the people in the flats, and as it comes to the air, I've had no response saying that they're going to have an issue with the noise. I'm willing to do whatever it can to try and verify that, because obviously there was only a limited amount of time to get this information. But as far as I'm concerned, this building's been used historically since, I think, about the 80s as different venues. Many times I think it's had a late licence. The flats around, although there's new flats that have been built after we had the doghouse, I think they've been around since the 80s as well, and they've all worked together. I think until there's any evidence that we're going to actually cause a nuisance, I should be able to potentially get a 3 o'clock licence, even if it doesn't mean I've got to pay for sash window, second glazing or anything else like that. I don't think the limit is appropriate, because speaking to the acoustic technician, they said that it's not a great idea, because they could just simply unplug it and just plug it into a socket that doesn't cut them off. I think it'd be too tempting and too difficult to actually monitor. And again, although you think the argument about money isn't a strong one, it means that I've got to spend money on a limiter that potentially isn't going to actually achieve anything. So I guess to sum it up is, for the sake of my business, for the sake of getting a reasonable income and benefiting the customers when the customers actually want to be there, I think a 3 o'clock license is a reasonable thing to ask for.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. So I'm now going to ask if you would like to withdraw and leave the committee to take the deliberations. And once we've done that, we'll invite you to come back in again, please.